What happens when a tech giant bets $1 billion on something it doesn't own? Well, you get a masterclass in modern partnerships. And this is the Partnership Playbook, a podcast helping sales and marketing leaders secure high-value partnerships that finally unlocks business growth and reclaims time. I'm your coach, Phil Hay-Sinclair. Welcome to the show. Now, if you've only got 2 minutes, let me cut to the chase. In the year 2000, IBM made a bold move. It backed Linux, a free open source operating system with a staggering $1 billion investment. Rather than treat the open source world as a threat, IBM treated it as a partner. And that changed everything. They didn't just fund it, they embedded Linux into their servers, their software, even their business strategy. Within a year, they'd nearly made back that billion. And in doing so, they rejuvenated their brand, unlocked new revenue, and future-proofed their business. This is a story about how partnering with a movement, not just another company, can pay off in ways you never expected. By the end of this episode, you'll walk away with three powerful moves. Number one, how to reframe who a partner can be, especially when it's not a company. Number two, how aligning with a trend can be more valuable than owning the product. And number three, how investing in movements, yes, movements, can unlock compounding returns. Now, let's rewind. Picture the year 2000. Microsoft is everywhere. Unix is the gold standard in enterprise software. And open source? It's a fringe idea. Respected, but not enterprise ready. And then, a $1 billion bombshell. They back Linux publicly, not just as a tool, but as the future. And they do it with open arms. Open code, and open investment. No control, just contribution. It wasn't a marketing play. It was a cultural shift. Here's what's wild. IBM didn't try to fight Linux, even though it threatened their proprietary Unix business. They embraced it. Instead of disruption leading to displacement, they chose collaboration. And that collaboration gave them a competitive advantage. They showed us that working with a disruptive force, not against it, can open entirely new doors. Now, this wasn't a classic partnership. There was no contract, no boardroom handshake, no 50-50 deal. IBM's partner was a global decentralized community of developers, thousands of programmers contributing to Linux from all corners of the world. And yet, it worked. IBM gave funding, resources, legitimacy. In return, the community gave back innovation, speed, and trust. It was asymmetric. And that was the magic. And this wasn't a small-scale experiment either. IBM invested $1 billion. They didn't just talk about Linux. They built Linux labs. They re-engineered their software like WebSphere and DB2 to run on it. They even restructured their services arm to support it. That investment paid off fast. By 2002, just a year later, they'd nearly recouped the whole amount. More importantly, they positioned themselves as the enterprise backbone for open innovation. IBM saw the signs. Customers wanted cheaper, more flexible systems. Developers were already excited about Linux, but what they lacked was confidence. So IBM stepped in. They didn't just endorse Linux, they backed it at every level. Funded it, developed for it, built around it, and made Linux a first-class citizen in enterprise tech. And that made the entire industry sit up and take notice. Here's the strategic brilliance. IBM wasn't selling Linux. They were selling trust. By aligning with Linux, they became the safe pair of hands for enterprise moving to open source. That unlocked massive hardware deals. It created new consulting opportunities. And it repositioned IBM, not just as a legacy hardware company, but as a progressive, forward-thinking force in enterprise information technology. The result? Revenue surged. Their server market share jumped as Linux workloads took off, and IBM gained access to a global R&D engine, the open source community itself. Thousands of developers working on a shared platform that also just happened to be optimized for IBM hardware. That's a strategic win if ever I've seen one. But let's not sugarcoat it. It wasn't easy. Inside IBM, there was pushback. Years of working on proprietary systems doesn't just disappear overnight. And externally, managing a relationship with a decentralized community takes humility. IBM had to contribute without controlling. They had to learn to lead by service, not by ownership. That's tough for a big company, but they did it. So what does this mean for you? Here's what I'd encourage you to think about. Number one, you don't have to own the thing to benefit from it. Contribute first, position well, and reap the rewards later. Number two, look beyond the obvious partners. Communities, ecosystems, movements. They might be your next growth engine. And number three, when the market is shifting, bet on the shift, not on the status quo. IBM didn't wait for Linux to become safe. They made it safe. And that's how they stayed, not just in the game, but ahead of it. I hope you enjoyed today's fascinating case study between IBM and Linux. And before you go, I've got a question for you. Do you worry that you're wasting time, money, and credibility on the wrong partnerships? It's exhausting to pretend everything's fine while quietly second-guessing your decisions. You see others thriving with the right connections, and you're stuck wondering if you're missing out. The fear of making another costly mistake, well, it can feel paralyzing. Well, that ends today, because I've created a free partner scorecard to instantly assess if a potential partner is an ideal fit for your organization. This tool and the Tesla case study that comes with it will give you clarity, confidence, and the edge you've been looking for. You can find the link to that tool in the show notes. And thanks again for being here. I'm your coach, Phil Hayes-Sinclair. I'll see you in the next episode.